ask you to stand as we sing together.
Tell me if from the brush we have striven after our labors of old, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light, oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home on the ransom beside the crystal sea. Yet the sweet rest is remaining for the true children of God, where there will be no complaining, never a chastening rod. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light, oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright home and adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light, oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea.
See this number out this morning. If you have your New Testament, if you'll be turning with me to 1 Corinthians and the first chapter, we'll begin our study there in just a moment. And while you're getting your Bibles and getting settled, we are so encouraged each time we can come together. I'm so thankful for this church family, and when we come together and worship together, I get a warm feeling because I realize we're family together. And as a local church here at Eastside, I want you to know how much I appreciate each of you. Appreciate and love everyone who wants to serve God, and appreciate your encouragement. In your Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look if you will, beginning at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I've often thought about the song that we sing, and we begins with, On a Hill Far Away. And I've often thought about that song, and I begin to wonder one day if perhaps in the lives of too many people, the cross is too far away. And so for a few moments of our time this morning, I want to talk about on a hill too far away and talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to bring to our mind as we look at the cross of Christ is to see the importance of the cross. A lot of people today do not understand just how important the cross of Christ really is. But when you go back and you look at life, you'll find that throughout the Holy Writ, that individuals sinned against God. You'll find that in the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned, and thus we live in a sin-cursed world. And because we live in a sin-cursed world, there is physical death. But when one individual sins against God, when he comes to an age of accountability, when he knows right from wrong, then he has what is identified as spiritual death. In the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, in verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." I want you to understand that he talked about that when man sins, that what he deserves is spiritual death. And when I speak about spiritual death, I'm talking about eternal separation from God. I'm talking about an individual who can be alive in the flesh, but be separated from God. And if he dies in that condition, he'll be separated from God for all eternity. And so when I think about sin, I recognize it's not something to laugh at, it's not something to ignore, but I need to understand that it is something that is an offense to God. But secondly, I need to recognize that not only does a sin bring wages of eternal death, but I need to look at and understand that an individual without the cross is lost. That God is too holy and God is too just to ignore sin. Sometimes we think of God, and I think we get the idea that God is like a grandfather. That God is just like a doting grandfather that just ignores sin. But I beg to differ with that view. God is a God that is holy and just, and thus sin must be dealt with. And I want us to stop and understand that God is too loving to let man die with no hope, so he had to think about what man needed. Because man had sinned, and because man was lost, and because man was spiritually dead, he looked down with pity and mercy and said, "Man needs a sacrifice." Because if man dies in the condition he's in physically, he'll be separated from me for all eternity. So God looked down and he sent a substitute. He sent his sinless son to come and to die upon the cross for our sins. If you take your Bible, look if you will kindly at what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, he said, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Have you ever thought that they made Jesus appear to be a sinner when he was the sinless one? And they put him on the cross, and they mocked him, and they ridiculed him, and they belittled him. And the whole time they were laughing and ridiculing him, Jesus was being their substitute. Jesus was paying a price for their sins. He paid a price for their sins that they could not pay. So Jesus is the one taking the place and who is taking the punishment that man rightfully deserves. Do you recognize this morning because of our sin, we deserve a cross? Do you recognize this morning we deserve to be ridiculed and belittled? But God in his mercy looked down and he sent his son to pay a price so we would not be separated from him eternally. And he also sent his son to cleanse us from our sin. If you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And when you come to 1 John chapter 1, look if you will at what is said in verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." I think about that last statement and my heart is touched. to recognize that the blood of Christ is what takes away the barrier. That takes away what separates me from God. In Isaiah 59:2, Isaiah said, "Your sins and iniquities have separated you from God." So what man needed was a way to be reconciled to God. He was separated, and reconciliation could only come if one came and took the place of man. And Jesus took the place as the Lamb of God when He went up on the cross. If you take your Bible, look in the Revelation letter and the first chapter. And when you kind of talk about coming in contact with the blood of Christ, look at what is said in Revelation 1 and verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Do you recognize that when one is baptized into Christ, they come in contact with the blood of Christ and they're cleansed, they're made whole, they're born again, they're adopted into the family of God. All their sins have been removed. And then as they live their life, they may stumble, they may give in to weakness. And what does He say in 1 John 1:9? We repent of that and we confess that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I want us to understand that because of the blood of Christ, even after we become children of God, when we fall short, God still is willing to forgive us through the blood of His Son. Now, that doesn't mean we just go out and willfully sin, but I want us to recognize that in moments of weakness, we all sin. And I think about it before I pillow my head. I pray to my God that He forgive me of my sin. And so I want us to look at the cross and just see how important the cross really is. But I think that in our day and time, we've put the cross too far away. I'll tell you the reason why. I think many people are offended by the cross. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at what Paul said again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18, he said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness." Now, who is it foolish to? Those who are perishing. To those who are lost. To those who are separated from God. That cross is far away from them. The blood doesn't mean anything to them. The sacrifice doesn't mean anything to them because they're perishing. But he said, "But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." I want to ask you a question this morning. Does the cross have power to you, or is it foolish to you? I'll never forget one time I was in Huntsville, Alabama, and there was a debate. And there was a man who was an atheist. And as he was standing up debating, he said the most silliest thing he's ever heard is that God would sacrifice His own Son. He said, "What kind of God would kill His own Son?" And I'll tell you what kind of God would allow His own Son to die. A God who wants you to be His sons and His daughters. And He saw that the only hope you and I would have would be for His Son to die in our place. And so I want us to look and understand a lot of people are offended by the cross because when they look at the cross, they see they cannot save themselves. That they needed the substitute. They needed a sacrifice. They needed someone to come and to be that individual that would die in our stead. But secondly, a lot of people are offended by the cross because it means I have to admit I'm a sinner. And a lot of people just won't admit they're a sinner. You know, my friend, when you look at Mike Richardson, what you see is a sinner redeemed by the blood of Christ. I am a saint only because of the blood of Christ. It's not because of my goodness. Because I fall short, I sin, I do those things which are wrong, and I have to repent. Sometimes I've told people, I said, if they ever knew exactly all the things I've thought and said, they probably wouldn't ever let me preach. Because I fall short just like everybody else. I've always said don't put a preacher on a pedestal because that just makes his fall farther. We're all individuals striving to do what is right. And we all struggle with temptation. We all struggle with sin. And what we need to do is understand that we cannot save ourselves, that God is the one that can save us through His Son. That when I put my faith into action and I obey God, I'm still not obeying or saving myself. What I'm doing is coming to God's terms of salvation. But that brings up another thought. Some people are offended by the cross because they're ashamed to admit they're a Christian. Some people just don't want others to know that they belong to Christ. We live in a world where we're afraid somebody is going to call us a religious fanatic because we're a Christian. I want to tell you something, my friend. If someone calls you a religious fanatic, that is a compliment. If they look at you and they can see that there's something different about you, that you belong to Christ, my friend, don't be insulted, but take it as a compliment because that means you're near the cross of Christ. The cross isn't too far from you. But that'll bring up something else. A lot of people don't like the cross because it's a scandal. I might as well go ahead and tell what's going on. There was a man who's a friend of mine and preacher in Nashville. They caught him in the act of adultery. His daughter found out before his wife, and he begged his daughter not to tell. He came home one day and his daughter was sitting there talking to his wife and tears were just streaming down his wife's face. And she looked at him and she said to him, "You know, I got everybody's attention with that story and I just made it up. But when I was preaching about the cross, there were a lot of people who didn't look that interested." Why are we more interested in a scandal about a preacher than we are about the scandal of the cross? Why is it we're more interested in gossip than we are the gospel? Why is it that we're more interested in something that is a sin about somebody else than taking care of our own sin? Why is it that we want to listen to gossip instead of the gospel? I'll tell you, my friend, what we need today is the truth of God's Word in our lives, and what we need is to have the cross near us. What we need at Eastside is the cross of Jesus Christ, and I want to know, is the cross near to you? Maybe the problem is we've made the cross too pretty. What we need to do is see the cross in focus. We need to see Jesus there, dripping blood, shedding His blood on the cross for our sins. If I could ever get in the heart of men and women what Jesus was willing to do because He loved you, you would reciprocate that love. And I feel like I failed so many times to try to get people to see the love Jesus has for them, the love we have for you. And I would do anything if I had the ability to get into your heart, not to put the cross too far away, but come near the cross of Jesus. I would that I had the ability to get our eyes on Jesus. I would that I could get some people here that I love dearly to be baptized into Christ. I would that I could do that which would give God glory and that we could help one another get to heaven and that the cross not be too far from us, but that the cross be near to the heart of every one of us. Oh God, help me preach the way that God would have me to get people to see what Jesus was willing to do and keep their eyes upon the cross. You know, temptation is easier to overcome when you keep your eyes upon the cross. Temptation is easier to overcome when you've been praying to God and you're working on your sin and you're trying to overcome your sin. And if I had the ability today to touch your heart. My prayer is that you don't put the cross too far away from you, but that you live near the cross of Christ. Don't be offended by the cross, but live near the cross. On a hill too far away stood an old rugged cross, an emblem I'm not willing to share. I don't want any part of God, and I want to live my own life. And yet, sometimes what happens when something bad happens in our life, we still want God's blessing. I'll never forget when 9/11 happened. They asked an individual, they said, "Why didn't God protect America?" And they said, "We've taken God out of our schools, we've taken God out of our government, we've taken God out of our lives. We've asked God not to interfere, and God has kindly complied to our request. Why would He give us protection and blessing if we don't want Him in our life?" Sometimes we want God's blessing, but we're not willing to make a sacrifice and a change to receive that blessing. Is the cross too far from you? If you're here this morning and you need to be baptized into Christ, you know His blood can cleanse you from every sin. You can have every sin blotted out. You can begin anew. You can have a second chance. You can have a new life. You can be a child of God. Or if you've wandered away and you need to come back to Christ, you know, my friend, we're here not to make fun or judge, but we're here to help you. We're here to assist you. We're here to pray for you. Because I'll tell you something. There's not a one of us here that don't need the cross. We all need the sacrifice God gave for us. Let our hearts be near the cross as we stand and sing.